Got it? Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It's 5:18 p.m. Roll call, I'm here. It's Mayor. Walt Crowder's here. Dan Wiegold is not here. minutes in front of you are the Board of Works minutes from February 24th. Do you have any changes, corrections?
I do not.
Okay. You want to make a motion?
I make a motion. We accept the minutes as presented.
Okay, and I'll second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is a street closing request for Taste of the Town. I know that Miranda and crew are here. So would you like to?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, very good.
First off, I'd like to apologize. Last meeting that you guys had, I was supposed to make it, but some things happened that were out of my control. But I think Rosie passed the papers out in front of you. And what I was asked was to give you a roadmap of where I would like the streets to be closed. So what I'd like is on Chauncey Street, I was told that we can't close or we can't block the City Hall building because that's where the police cop cars go. Think I'm correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, usually we try to work with the group, but typically we try to keep at least the the west side of the street open there for the half block.
Okay. So you look at the map, then I want Chauncey, or I'm asking for Chauncey mm-hmm. to be closed,
mm-hmm.
and then Van Buren.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's when you're looking at the map, there's two little sections. Like in between is like where the barricades go. So on the map, I kind of highlighted where everything's going to go. So if you're looking on Van Buren and to the right of it, there's going to be a car show for Taste of the Town. And then across of it, we're going to have our local vendors come. And then when you're looking back at Chauncey, we're going to have the stage. So we'll also need the electrical box like we did last year. And the stage will be right in front of the gazebo. Then across from the stage, there will be some food trucks. And then if you move down from the stage mm-hmm. to your right, there will also be more food trucks.
Now, is the stage going to be facing toward the gazebo then?
Yes.
Okay.
And we got permission to use the courthouse lawn already.
Okay. And is that going to be the stage of the American Legion?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So you guys have negotiated
yes.
that, figured that out. Okay. Tim, as you look at this, do you see any issues?
No, I believe this is the same setup that we had last year as far as barricades and sections
yes.
of town, and it seemed to work fine last year, so I don't have any issues with and I've talked with Kelly about the barricades already, so I don't have any problems with it.
Okay. We probably, Tim, I'm guessing we can probably do the same thing we normally do of blocking off Chauncey with a barricade but still allowing the free flow of police cars to come in and out, right?
Yes, and if push comes to shove and they need that space mm-hmm. in front of City Hall, we can make that happen.
Okay. Walt, well, you have any issues?
I do not.
Okay. How are you guys recruiting vendors?
We're actually going, we just made a big list of people who would like to contact,
mm-hmm.
and we were told by the time Taste of the Town actually happens, which the date's not on here, but for you who don't know, it's going to be on May 16th, it's a Saturday, but by that time we were told that there's going to be some more businesses downtown, so we're going to hit those up first, that's our goal,
yes.
and then more around the square. We're going to try to keep it local and not ask outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On the Saturday?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes.
We do have a little bit of an issue with the food trucks. If they're going to need any power, they're not going to be able to set up. So the only power we have available is on the northeast corner of the square.
Okay.
And that's, I've made arrangements with food trucks in the past to have outlets into that box, so you need to move those to that corner if they need power.
Okay. So would I just ask them if they'll need power?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll probably need to ask them both if they need power as well as if they say yes, what kind of plug.
Okay.
We ran into that issue that food trucks have different kinds of plugs, and we usually only we have one of the normal kind, so that's the thing you'll have to figure out.
Okay.
So I would, personally, I guess I would encourage if they have if they have a generator of sorts, or if they mm-hmm. have some other way to power, that probably would be better.
Okay.
But, you know, you guys do what you got to do. So.
All right.
Any water requirements?
No.
Okay. Any issues? Any other issues?
No, sir.
Okay. Anything else for us?
That's all I have for you.
Okay. So I will I'll make a motion that we approve the Taste of the Town request as presented for May 16th. So the street's closed from 2 to 9 p.m.
Then. Correct.
Okay. As presented.
I'll second.
Motion and second for the discussion. You guys are all good? Okay. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up is the request for bids for Control House metal clad switchgear.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for quite some time. Yes. A while back, we approved the engineering portion of this project. We've come to the point, I laid a paper on your desk of the five vendors that were considering, manufacturers were considering, we're going to extend offers to bid on the project.
Mm-hmm.
Greg from Spectrum Engineering is here. He can kind of give us give you guys maybe a little better overview of what this project is to the electric department mm-hmm. and how it's going to be a benefit to our infrastructure. If Greg would like to step up.
Sure.
And I do have the drawings. If you guys are interested in seeing the drawings, they're all going to be, I'll have them here afterwards. We've got the drawings for the substation.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Greg Hughes. I'm with Spectrum Engineering, and the electric department's been working with us as far as putting a package together to go out for bids for new metal-clad switchgear. Presently, and this is at North Substation, which is behind, I want to say it's a Kroger? Grocery store. I know it's a grocery store, but I think it's Kroger. But the metal-clad gear that's there now is approximately in the early 80s, I want to say 80 to 82. And it's service life, and the breakers have started to have some failures with them. And this new metal-clad switchgear is a new generation. It's I wouldn't say it's completely a controlled environment, but it's really close to being a controlled type environment. We're going from electromechanical based relays to microprocessor based relays. Walt, I don't know if you remember back from the Southwest substation when that was put together. I remember you were on the board back then, and that has the microprocessor-based relays, which is Schweitzer Engineering Laboratories.
Okay.
The design is very similar, but it has some new features to it. Some of the features it has on it is it has a fiber optic system, and the fiber optic is for arc flash, which gives the lineman protection. What it is, it's a super fast fiber that goes around and looks at any flash that might come up, and it will trip that relay super fast, like 3 to 6 cycles. And also another feature that is incorporated in this design is that it has a remote push button station, which presently right now when the linemen go up to operate this equipment, they're standing right in front of it to do the operations of the equipment. This one's got a little panel off to the side, which just has a little push button, and that takes a lot of safety aspects and puts the op linemen around to the side so they're not standing right in front of that equipment in case it was to fail under fault. This is 15 kV switchgear. Plan on taking the old switchgear out, utilizing the existing foundation. We don't see any reason to just scrap that foundation, tear it out, put a new one in, but we're going to add on to that foundation unless we incorporate some problems with the foundation. We don't anticipate that. We don't view any. And one other thing that the presently has, it has overhead bus that goes into it, basically from the power transformer over to the switchgear. That bus is very similar to the bus that failed over at the high school substation 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe longer than that. And that overhead bus has some good features. Some of the problems with that is the fact that if that transformer was to fail and to change that transformer out, it becomes an extensive long outage versus just getting another transform bank in there and just changing it. So we're looking at removing that overhead bus that's enclosed and putting another small secondary structure in and putting some new aluminum bus up that will go over to the rooftop bushings of this new switchgear. It's a main, and I believe it's 5 feeders. It's going to have a new battery put in it. It will be set up for SCADA communications. I know that the city is working on putting some SCADA around town, so it will have those features already incorporated into it. It will have an enunciator, and that enunciator will basically let the linemen know as they walk right into the any problem areas that's within some of the equipment around the yard or inside the switchgear. So I do have some plans, and I have a package of the switchgear that I'd be willing to open up and show you if you have any specific interest.
I wouldn't even know a question to ask at this point. I think obviously, what we're working toward is improving our system and shortening obviously any kind of outage times and making upgrades so that hopefully, the majority of us will be long gone by the time we have to make upgrades the next time.
This,
so
this switchgear, I would anticipate at bare minimum with just standard maintenance, you should get minimum of 50 years, and I wouldn't see why you couldn't push that 80 years as long as,
really?
As long as you were really making sure you maintain the maintenance on the computer.
So the product that we're buying is from a manufacturer that these other manufacturers can purchase? Is that are these actually products that are being built by these manufacturers?
It's built by those manufacturers.
Okay.
And it's really modeled after what you have down here on the south side.
So
it's going to look almost identical to that.
Oh, okay.
But
right.
It has some newer upgrades, and that arc flash button, push button station. Matter of fact, we even talked to Sean about some of those features could be incorporated into that new switchgear, which would provide some additional safety for the linemen to do the work.
My question is probably a little 40,000 feet in the air question, but I see Nebraska, I see Maryland, I see California. Who ultimately who is going to protect us that if something goes bad, we have the parts? If they're made in California or if they're made in Nebraska, I guess I'm just concerned the distance and response time, and maybe you've got all that covered in your quote and bid. But
I'll explain the process a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, the switchgear is using common components, and for instance, the relays are Schweitzer Engineering Laboratories based out of Washington. And those are the same type of relays you have both in the South Sub and also in the Gulf West Sub. So those components are available.
Universal.
Right.
Okay.
The breakers, Sean, am I saying they're Eaton breakers?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to actually purchase the same type of breaker that you have in the South Sub. Reason why we like to do that, because we don't care if you use Cutler Amber or GE or Eaton. It doesn't matter to us, but what we want to do is to make a consistent breaker because those breakers are about 15 piece, and there's no reason for you to have a spare breaker at each place. If you could just have one that covers the whole city, that's what we do. So we've specified to have the same type of breaker you have in South Sub. So the spare breaker you have in South Sub station could be hauled up with a pickup truck up to North Sub and inserted in and utilized. The manufacturer, really, it's the process of taking steel and bending it, fabricating it, assembling it. It's taking copper and making bus bar. They put a fluidized bed on it to insulate it, put the standard insulators to support that. The wiring is a high-quality SIS wiring, control wiring. And that's wiring you can go down to Kendall Electric, as an example, and purchase. The terminal blocks are typically Southern States-type terminal blocks or Panda-type terminal blocks. I guess what I'm going with all this, most of the components we use are components we can buy at specific locations around here. There are some that are you'll have to go out and order and have them shipped in.
So it's really just the manufacturer assembles this, bends the steel, paints it, and puts it all together. There's nothing real specific, unique, and I say that with few exceptions, and that is, an example is, we're having remote breaker racking devices, and they've bent up a little piece of metal, and they've made a motor that attaches to the door that the lineman will stand off to the side, and they'll push a button so they can rack the breaker in, or push the button to rack the breaker out. The panels that are inside this, we've specified square D type panels. I bet most of you, half of you, probably have square D type panels in your home with QO type breakers, which is a standard. You could go down to your hardware store and buy those QO type breakers. So,
I think you've answered my concern very well. So,
yeah, I guess my question would be is that it sounds like, at least, I just want to make sure it's clear, that we are basically standardizing so that when your guys go to a substation, no matter which one they go to, it's standardized. They know exactly it, because all of them have the same type of equipment. They all have the same kind of buttons. They all have the same kind of, right?
It is. This one will have a couple more things that these existing ones don't have, whereas like this one, I moved the controls around the corner, so you're not closing in on a fault and having arc flash.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference. The buttons will look the same.
Yep.
It'll just be around the corner.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I just want to make sure that as we train our guys on our substations, that, again, that we're not having to go to the west one and train them there, and then go to the south one and train them there, and then go to the high school and, you see what I'm saying?
So three different styles of substation.
Yeah. Yeah. So the standardization
is done. We'll have one, and then we'll have the high school substation, which we'll keep around for a short period of time, and then that one, this will enable us to eliminate that one at some point. If we have any issues, we can just eliminate it. Mm-hmm. I have to put any money into that for repairs.
Each substation is a little bit unique in its own way because of the work it does, if you will.
Certainly.
And one other thing that I failed to mention, we are incorporating some stuff, that's not a lot, but some stuff, so additional upgrades can take place in this substation for future upgrades of equipment.
Mm-hmm. So I guess as a follow-up to that, is there, when you change all these pieces out, or when we change all these pieces out, is there use for those pieces as we take those out?
I'll be taking one of the breakers and moving it to the high school substation, which is actually compatible with our high school substation, shockingly. Other than that, I'm getting a quote from a gentleman, I can't remember the name, the surplus something.
That's right, Yorktown?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's going to give me a quote just to take the entire building and buy everything, breakers, building, and everything. That saves us from having to haul this wide load and get rid of it. So mm-hmm. I'm getting a couple quotes on it. Okay. The existing building for the parts we can't use anywhere else.
And we would get dollars in return for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had several of our clients use that salvage guy before. Hmm. I know that Purdue University has sold a lot of equipment to them, and I know that one of our clients, Ball State, has purchased stuff through them many times. And they don't give you a whole lot. Pennies on the dollar, but it's very specialized and very unique, the high voltage equipment. So some value.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but if, you know, if these pieces, these parts and these pieces of equipment have been, you know, working for 30 years, I mean, it's hard to find anything that works for 30 years and you don't get pennies on the dollar for them. So it's, but I think the fact that we're basically getting even more of a return on our investment there, I think, is a good thing. And obviously helps the bottom line of this project too. So, okay. So, what are you asking for from
just
us?
Just asking for permission to go out to bids.
To go out to bids.
In the bid package, I also have a copy of it. 60 some pages long. If you'd like to read through it, but it does say it lays out when the bids are due. I might have Greg lay out the timeline a little bit of what we're thinking. Things can get delayed. But the basic timeline, these are due. You'll have to help me with the date, Greg.
I want to say the first part
April.
Of the
April 27th.
April 27th, okay.
According to this. So I guess as I'm trying to understand this. So we have five different manufacturers. Are each of those manufacturers, do each of those manufacturers manufacture a portion of the project, right?
Yes.
Okay, and we have one bidder per, okay? Will there be more bids? Are we going to get more bids for each of those pieces?
No, they will take, we have the required material list in here.
Okay.
They will take those materials, put them into a building, and offer us a price. And then we will go with the bid at that time.
So we'll get one, two, there's three, four, five independent bids.
Yeah, there's probably only one or two other manufacturers in the United States that we even know of that provide this type of equipment.
Okay.
These are manufacturers that we know that can provide this type of equipment. And our last bid that we did, which was about 6 or 7 months ago, on a very similar piece like this, I believe we only had three of the vendors provide pricing. So it wouldn't surprise me if you only see two or three bids on this equipment. Time frame, again, I'm going to just refer, Sean said time frame on this. The last vendor that provided pricing with a very similar piece of equipment, it was about a 24-week lead time. It wouldn't surprise me if that lead time is still within the 20 to 30 weeks before that equipment, after award, could be even provided.
So these five companies in the second column will be getting information from all five of those vendors? Or each of these will be getting information from each of their individual
vendors? Each of these companies will be getting this bid package,
yep,
from Spectrum.
Yes.
And they will all offer their own bid.
Right. From these five manufacturers.
Yep. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I can bring this up and show you real quick. This is, and I don't know. This is what the bid package looks like. It's a hard
yeah.
form.
Yeah.
And if you open it up, mm-hmm. it has all the pertinent information as a front end, as the technical specifications, talks about the switchgear part of it, has technical specifications, talk about control. We has the drawings. We have a whole package of drawings here that shows how all the AC schemes, all the DC schemes, the layouts that we're looking for, how the bus is supposed to be configured. But also, towards the back, then we have another a bill of materials that goes through, and it talks about each of those cubicles. This particular page shows cubicle number 3, and it spells out the item that's supposed to be in there, the description of the item, the quantity of that item, has and then the manufacturer of that item, and also has the part number of that item.
Okay.
So it's very specific.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It matches up with what the city is used to.
Okay.
Or
no.
Upgrades.
Yeah. I feel comfortable with it. I don't know where you are.
I mean, and I always ask Marcia.
Yes, I reviewed it. Much to your dismay. we had a number of changes that we went through, and then I got those back, and I don't think I had any changes to that.
One additional thing, and they did add that.
Yeah, okay.
Number 9.
So, yes, I reviewed it a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So you good for Sean to go out to bid?
Yes, sir.
And I am as well.
There is one correction. Something's changed since we talked. I have it due April 14th.
Oh, I was only saying the date that's at the top of the sheet.
Yeah,
so
those were wrong.
Oh, okay.
The bids are actually awarded then on the 28th.
Greg's got the official copy. It will be awarded that day. I believe they're due.
The 14th.
Right here. They're due.
I got 1 p.m. Monday, 13th.
All right. So we will need to change that to Tuesday at.
Yeah, I emailed you all that to send.
Yeah, and I sent that on to Craig. It works with Craig. And we will change that to Tuesday, the very next day.
What's the due
date? We would like them to submit their bids to the board. We may not open them here because they have to be reviewed by Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you guys if you want to open them or not. But we will then send them off.
I was going to say, I think we usually open them, talk about the price, and then we let them review it from there. So that's fine.
Yep.
Okay.
Will the time change?
Tuesday at 5. Tuesday at 4 p.m.
You're obligated to accept them up to the
Board of Works meeting?
Yeah.
And I had made all those changes.
We had changed it in advertisement.
Yeah.
I don't know if it didn't get changed.
Okay.
And then there was, that was to be changed, and there was one other thing.
Yeah.
But
Craig has been doing the coordination. I apologize for that, Craig.
That's
Colbridge.
Okay.
And his family's on spring break, and he's taking some time off, so he asked me to attend tonight. So.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just want to make sure we are still
on the same
page.
And we're not making any decision tonight. We're just giving the blessing to move forward.
Correct.
So
okay.
We won't make a decision on the 14th.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up is a street closing permit. Ed Harrison?
An alley.
What?
It's an alley.
It's an alley? Okay. Regarding reciting a home. I looked at that map. Or not, I'm sorry, not the map, but, oh, there is a map. That's not what I was talking about, but, okay, that's what I was kind of figuring. So, between the north and south alley and Line Street on that east-west alley?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yep.
So the east portion of that alley, you will be, that'll be blocked while the reciting is.
The east portion is the first part, and that's where the two property owners get in and out.
Yep.
So we'll be past where they get in and out of their house with them, between their exit and entrance points and the cross of the alley.
Okay.
We'll be back there with
okay. So it's not really going to be blocking too much, let's say it that way. I mean, the only issue would be if somebody would not look and turn in there, and then they may have
they
to turn around.
Back out or something.
But it's really, it's only during daytime hours, per se,
right.
7 to 4, so.
7:30 to 4:30.
7:30 to 4:30. Okay.
I think
you had 7 to 4, but.
I think I had something else down. We changed time, so.
You lost that hour, huh?
Okay. And it may not be for that entire time. I'm just being safe.
Yeah.
The again, I'm no trouble with your request. I may have an addition as chief. Do you have cones that we could let him use to block it off? Because the only thing I don't want people's backing out in the street. That would be my only concern.
I do have some cones he could use if he wants to coordinate that with me. We can make that happen.
I'm going to ask if you guys want me to pick up some barricades or some cones or something.
Mm-hmm. I think cones would be a lot easier to mess with.
Yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable with. I was just suggesting that we don't have somebody get stuck and then try to back out.
Yeah.
I think cones would probably be easier. So if you want to give me a call, we can just coordinate how many you need, and you can stop by and pick them up.
Are you going to put them on both the east and west side of that portion of the alley? So it would be like four cones or something. Can I recommend the tall ones instead of the short ones?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Can I pick those up in the morning there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make a motion?
Mm-hmm.
I make a motion that we approve the request to shut the alley off as discussed in the 200 block from 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. With the additional cones to be placed with Ed working with the police department to get that. That's my recommendation.
Okay, I'll second it. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you.
Do you need your map back?
No, I'm not.
I'll just stop by in the morning, okay?
Okay, yeah, I just want to go up here to the second floor.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you. Next up, Kelly.
Got a couple quotes for a truck that's going to replace truck 254 currently that we have in our fleet. It's a 2006 three-quarter ton, and that truck is going into the mechanics, be the mechanics truck.
Oh, okay.
The one he currently has is pretty rough, and it's under Sean's asset list, I believe, so I think Sean was going to put it out to bid, possibly. I'm not speaking for him, but I think that's...
Is there going to be enough of it left for it to be bid out? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, good.
So Randy was really happy with that, I think, and that truck currently has four 1,000 hours on it, and like I said, it's a 2006. It has an 8.5-foot plow on it, too. It's a 4x4. Randy does help us a lot of times in the winter, so he could have us, you know, set up in his shop ready to go, so it would be a benefit to all around. The trucks are about $100 difference from Keller Ship or Keller Ford to City Ford, so I would be comfortable with whatever you guys, whichever route you want to go on that.
You really went Sean's route on that comment right there. Appreciate
that. That's what Sean said, too.
He was coached.
Yes, yeah, I guess so. Hey, I don't, to me, I mean, I think this is, I think it's a good rotation of the vehicles. You know, obviously, we try to get every bit of, well, if you saw the mechanic's vehicle, you know we try to get every ounce of life out of these things as we can. And with the very little difference in between the two quotes, obviously, we try to support local, especially with the small difference. So, you okay if I do a bid or a motion?
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we accept the bid from City Ford for the purchase of a Ford F-250 in the amount of $27,997.57 as presented.
I'll second that.
Motion is second. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present.
Thank
okay.
you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can get it loaded up. Semi-annual groundwater monitoring services. Jeffrey.
You have before you a proposal from Burgess and Nyepol, Columbus, Ohio office. Mm-hmm. That's where their environmental services is located. We had DNN do the semi-annual groundwater sampling for probably a decade now, if not more. And they always do it in April and October. This is a requirement of US EPA and also enforced through IDEM. Both us and the non-city settlers, of which engineering management that actually does the site work down at the facility of the former Wayne Reclamation Recycling Superfund site. Last year's proposal and acceptance was, I believe, $10,700, so it's gone up just $300 for this year. I will tell you that there is now some additional coordination that has been requested. That means, i.e., directed that we will do from IDEM between engineering management's tests and ours. They have to be done the same day, and we also have to report temperature of the containers and some additional things that IDEM wants to make sure that both organizations are the samples are comparing apples to apples. So there is some additional coordination that's happening that takes place now. Just as a side note, I sent to the elected officials the semi-annual report from EMI to US EPA and IDEM, and I thought it was quite interesting that I think it's a half a pound of VOCs that's being extracted now as compared to, you know, when I first started up. It's mind-boggling to consider the amount of money that is consumed in a Superfund site like that. But that's just an aside from this. It'd be my recommendation, though, that the board does act favorably in this proposal for $11,000.
I just, it says that reimbursable expenses is estimated to be.
That's what they always.
So not to exceed.
Yeah, it always ends up. Last year they went over a little bit, and I called them on it. They waited.
Is there back to page one. Is there a number reference?
Yeah, I got a proposal number. You want me to make a motion?
Yep, right.
Okay, then I will make a motion that we approve the proposal from Burgess and Nyepel, number 15-1029, in the amount of $11,000, not to exceed $11,000 as presented.
I second with a question.
Yeah.
Is there an expiration? Is there an expiration date? Is it once a year? Or two times?
It's a 1 year contract.
Okay.
But it's done in April and October.
Okay. Just clarifying. Thank you.
Okay. Got a motion and second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor?
Just before you call for a vote,
yep.
Marcia, would it be best to have that cross through and put not to exceed that initial?
Well, since that's what your motion was,
yeah.
You might want to go ahead and do that.
I would suggest doing that too.
Yeah, and they have been good on agreeing to that. Like you said, you called and got them down before. But so you could just mark that through and initial it.
Rosie, you want to make that change before we sign it?
Okay,
and we'll
both initial it. But that was actually your motion anyway.
Yes, so correct.
You're okay with
that. That's correct. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Bills.
Dan's not here.
I know. I'm waiting.
I will say there's one change since I sent it out on line 36. That line item has been deleted. Oh, wait.
We don't have that part.
Okay. This one here has been deleted because it was a refund for a ball thing.
Baseball.
It's not gonna.
Oh, it's not gonna be refunded.
No.
Okay.
So the price is $50 less.
Okay.
And I think I really.
Yeah, she did.
I'm up. There we go.
Oh. Okay.
That put some commas and dots. Okay. Make a motion that we pay the bills in the amount of $674,995.61. Hang on.
Did you already subtract that?
Yeah.
So I need to add that? Back in?
No, it's $674,995.61.
Okay, that's what I
thought.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Okay. Okay, I'll second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of this present. Okay. Okay. Any issues for the Board of Works? Department heads.
Right. Received 21 applications so far as of 3 p.m. We've reviewed all those, and so we'll see if there's any that came in right at the end of the day today, which I don't think there was. But we'll have 21 to go through. And we'll start the. We've already reviewed those, and if everything goes okay, and then I'll meet with Beth tomorrow. She has some time and turn those over to her.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing? You want to say how many applications you got or no?
I have 34.
Okay. It
closes tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Okay. Nothing? Jeff? Nothing? Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie? Walter?
No, sir.
I'm good. Audience? Press? Okay. Call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.